Amen. Our sermon text for this, the third Sunday of Lent, is from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and verses 13 through 25. Would you please rise for the reading of the Gospel lesson? We read this in Jesus' name. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Then, when therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So this text is pretty interesting for a number of different reasons. And I'm kind of excited to be able to share this with you today because this text is, there's some misconceptions, I guess, about this text that I think we probably all heard, you know, at some point throughout our life. And we're going to go through a couple of those things today. But the first reason that this text is interesting is because this shows, Jesus shows like some aggression, which is not normally what we think of when we think of Jesus. Jesus normally we think of as being like tender and gentle and kind and all this. But what happened here today is like actually pretty aggressive. Like Jesus got excited and he went and he did something inside the temple. Yeah, it caused a pretty big stir. And so this is interesting that this is almost, you could say, uncharacteristic of what we normally think of as Jesus, what he normally would do. But we're going to find out the reason he does this is a very, very important reason. Another thing that's interesting about this text, and to bring it into our day and age, we'll hear this text applied to the church. We'll hear this text applied to, like, let's say, paid pastors or paid staff in a church. We'll hear people will apply this to that and say, well, Jesus, he's going to want to go in there and destroy all this stuff. You know, he doesn't want people, you know, making money in churches. And this is kind of where this gets applied typically in our day and age a lot of times. And I don't want to discount any of that. That's all well and good. I think we need to do that because, well, let's face it, Paul says when he's writing to Timothy that a person that's going to stand in this place and be a pastor or a bishop, overseer of the church, they aren't supposed to be doing this for money, for filthy lucre, is how King James translates that. In other words, like, that's not what this is about. I mean, yeah, there are such things as the realities of life, of the fact that we all need to live and make a living and all those kind of things, those are well understood. But that's not what any of this is about. So I don't want to discount any of that, but there's also a broader thing that Jesus is teaching here that affects all of us, okay? And I think this is good for us all to pause and consider, what really is it that church is about? Like, why are we here? What is this all about for us? The reason it's good to stop and just take a little bit to think about that is we can pretty easily get pulled off of the main focus of what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Just like we heard Jakeah read, that the preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. That we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what this whole thing is about. You know, this is about the cross. Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. So that's the message of the church. That's the purpose for the church to exist. And we can get so sidetracked in so many other areas. And we see it, if you look at the landscape of Christianity in America today, you can see this happening, is where the church is almost like a, it's become like a business in some ways. Like, we market it and we do all kinds of things. And I really am worried that we're moved off of our focus of where we should be. And that's what Jesus addresses here in a different setting. Jesus enters into the temple and He addresses this same issue in His day and age. And it still is an issue that plagues every one of us human beings, because we have a tendency to miss the point. We have a tendency to make things something other than what God intended them to be. And that's what was happening this day in the temple. And so we'll go through this story and kind of look at some of these pieces of what Jesus was doing here in the temple. We're told that He went, it was the Passover of the Jews, and the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. I don't want to get bogged down on all the history of the Passover, but there's a couple of things that are worth mentioning to help us understand this. And if you want to read about this when you get home, Exodus chapter 12, you can read about the Passover and everything, the whole history of that. But basically, what is the Passover? The Passover was a feast, a yearly feast that the Jews would do, and it was required for them to go to the temple. So they would travel to Jerusalem, they'd go to the temple, and they would offer sacrifices. So that's what's happening here. Jesus is celebrating the Passover. And we're told that Jesus went there. So why did Jesus go there? Because Jesus is a Jewish man. Jesus, He celebrates these things. He does all of the Jewish stuff because Jesus is a Jew. And this is important because it tells us that what Paul tells us in Galatians, that Jesus Christ was made under the law to redeem those that were under the law. In other words, Jesus fulfilled all of these things. All of these things that were Jewish, Jesus fulfilled them all, because He's like telling them that this is all about Him. And so that's why He goes to the temple this day. And Jesus, we're told that He goes into the temple, and inside the temple He found something in there that was quite disturbing to Him, and something that caused Him to take action. What He found in the temple was, He found there was people in there, they were selling oxen, sheep, pigeons, and they were exchanging money in the temple. So they had this nice little setup going in there. It's like, probably, I'm picturing like the fair. Okay, we go to the fair and there's like all these booths set up, and it's like, people are selling their stuff, and they're really, what they're doing is capitalizing on the convenience of them having what you need right there. And that's what they're doing here in the temple. They're actually selling these sheep and oxen and doves and stuff for the sacrifices. This isn't just a random thing where they just decided to, you know, set up an animal market in the temple. They're doing these sacrifices, and these are the animals that are required to offer to the sacrifices. So they're like, hey, you can get your sheep here. You know, for a small fee, I'll sell you this sheep for your sacrifice. Or you can exchange your money. So you can exchange your Roman coins for a Tyrian shekel to pay the temple tax. You can do that here. Exchange it in here for a small fee, of course. And so that's what was going. They had this nice little setup there where they're doing all these things in the temple around the Feast of the Passover, and they're doing this. They have a nice little setup going that we'd probably be proud of as American capitalists. They're capitalizing on this need, this demand that there is for animals and exchange, currency exchange and all that kind of thing. So, but Jesus isn't too impressed with it, because they are getting pulled off of the focus of what God is all about, what this whole temple is all about. And Jesus is thoroughly unimpressed with this. He takes and he makes a whip of cords and he drives them out of the temple. And here's a little bit of a misconception that sometimes we have, that we think that Jesus like made this whip and he was like actually just lashing people with the whip. I don't believe Jesus is hitting the people. Jesus made the whip to drive the animals out, and he's probably cracking it above the animals to get them out, because that's how you move the cattle out of the temple. Because in a couple verses, we find out that Jesus told the people with the doves or the pigeons to take them out, because you don't drive those out with a whip. So, but Jesus gets the animals out, and he tells them, you can't be doing this in here. This isn't like Jesus had a fit of rage and he's like, you know, starting to hurt people. Jesus is not that way. He doesn't hurt people. But that doesn't say that Jesus just sits around and lets something like this happen in the temple. Jesus takes action. And this is a lesson for us. You know, when we find something going wrong, when things are going the wrong way, when people are, you know, maybe believing something false or teaching something false, we don't just sit around and let this happen. This isn't what Jesus did. Jesus took very decisive action, and he corrected the thing that was wrong. And that's exactly what he does. He chases them out, and he actually takes the coins and the tables that they had set up, and he dumps the coins out and turns the tables over. In other words, he upsets the whole operation, and he says, this can't happen in the temple. And he tells them straight out, he says, take these things out. Take these things away. He said that, do not make my Father's house a house of trade, or an emporium is actually the Greek word here. This place where you're actually buying and selling, and you're making a profit in here. You know, that's not what this is for. He says that you have turned this thing into something other than my Father has intended it. See, God isn't trying to get things off of us. He's not trying to take things from us. God's purpose is to give. God is about grace. He says that you've made my Father's house, which is a house of prayer, a place where people can go, and they can go to God with their needs, and God gives them the things that they need. He says, you've turned that into something that where you are getting something from this. And Jesus will not stand for this. See, the issue isn't that there's animals in the temple. You know, this is something that was very common. There was 16 to 18,000 sacrifices done at the time of the Passover. The priests who offered up the animals and sacrificed the animals, there's writings actually of the rabbis that kind of like describe what this was like, and they, in one of the writings it says that they were up to their ankles in blood. That's how many animals were being slain. You know, that, and that's a picture of what sin is. That's the price of sin. And of course, we know Jesus is the real sacrifice. And so it's just so interesting that we get this temple. We get all these sacrifices. And then Jesus steps into the temple and all of those sacrifices, the whole temple, everything, is really pointing to Jesus Christ and what he would do on the cross. And so now we get to the crux of the issue, is that they were making this temple into something that it was not supposed to be. You know, and again, this is a time where we take a hard look at what we're doing. You know, is this about Jesus? Is church about Jesus? Or is this about, you know, some organization that we want to succeed and have like a big institution? Or is this about, you know, a social club for us where we can come and we can like make this great thing that we're all proud of or something like that? You know, these are the areas where we get pulled off. We get pulled off of the focus that this whole thing is about Jesus. The message is about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what preaching is supposed to be. We come here and we announce to you that Jesus, he died on a cross for you. He shed his blood. He is a sacrifice. He is the ultimate sacrifice for you, for your sins. And sinners can come here. Sinners come to church and they hear that they are sinners. Yes, they are. But Jesus Christ has died for sinners to wash them in his blood, to make them clean, to rise again, to raise them up from their death. This is the message we have. There's no other focus here. There's no other thing that we're supposed to be occupying ourselves with. And so that's the issue here. You know, yeah, the money, all that stuff, that's not the issue either. It's not that like money's evil or something like that. That's not the case. You know, I read somewhere that it was $150 million equivalent to our currency they raised in silver with the temple tax every year that was collected at the time of the Passover. So, yeah, there's a cost of running the temple, and there's also a cost of running the church. Those aren't the issues. Yeah, you can have all the money you want in churches. That's fine. But that's not what church is about. We're not about money. We're not about budgets. We're not about... Yeah, all that stuff is a secondary issue that has to be dealt with. Yeah, sure, there needs to be some talk about it, but we never better get off of the focus of what church is. Church is where Jesus is preached, where the gospel is proclaimed to sinners, and where sinners are saved, and where their sins are all washed away. So that's what Jesus did this day in the temple here. And then he... Of course, Jesus, he quotes the Psalms, and actually the Jews, they remember something about what it was written in Psalm 69, that the zeal of your house will consume me. And so the disciples are watching all this happen, and they're thinking, hey, it says this in the Psalms. We sing this. We sing this in our synagogue services. You know, the Psalm of David where it says, the zeal for your house will consume me. And they recognize, you know, by the Holy Spirit, no doubt, that they recognize what's happening. They're saying, Jesus is, you know, he's being very zealous and he's passionately, like, you know, cleansing the temple is what we call it. He's getting rid of this corruption that's in the temple. And the disciples, they recognize that the zeal of your house will consume me. David talked about this years ago, and now this is happening. Jesus is fulfilling that. And so they recognize it. And then it says that the Jews, of course, they're like, whoa, what's happening here? And this, of course, gets the attention of the Jews and the leadership. And they asked Jesus, they said, what sign are you going to show us for doing these things? So they want Jesus to prove himself to them. Okay, now Jesus has to prove himself to them. And that's what we do as human beings. In our fallenness, we think God has to somehow prove himself to us, that he has to like meet some conditions that we have, and then we'll let him be God if he meets these conditions. That's what's happening here. Because the problem is the fallen nature wants to be God. So it wants to be actually above God and have God answer to us. And that's what they're doing here. They're saying, what sign will you show us? And Jesus, he just simply says, I'm not playing that game. He doesn't play this game with them. He just tells them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's the only sign you're going to get. In other words, I'm God, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. And also what Jesus is telling them is that I'm the real temple. You see this great building here that you call the temple. You know, all the glory of this building. And he's telling them, I'm the real temple. Because the temple, if you remember, when it was built, the temple was supposed to be the house of God, the place where God would live. And that's why, like, they believe God lived in the temple. And the closer you were to the temple, the closer you were to the holiness of God. Well, Jesus is telling them that I'm the real temple. The fullness of God is living in me. The fullness of the Godhead, Paul tells us, was dwelling, living in Jesus Christ, bodily, in his body. So this is God. He is the temple. And of course, the Jews don't understand this, and they're like, Jesus is crazy. You know, what are you talking about? This thing took 46 years to build. This is like a huge thing. This is Herod's temple, you know, this great temple. It took 46 years to build this thing. And you're saying you're going to build it up in 3 days, hey? And the Jews, they never forgot this, because when Jesus was on standing before in Caiaphas's house, before the council, this came up. They said, oh, this is that guy that said he could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. You know, so they're like, they think this is totally absurd. But John tells us that Jesus was talking about the temple of his body, which is exactly what happened. They destroyed his body. We destroyed his body. We crucified him. And after 3 days, what happened? Jesus rose from the dead. So that's what Jesus was talking about. He's telling them that this whole thing is about me. He says that I'm coming here to sacrifice myself for you. That's what this whole temple's about. That's what your whole religion is about, really. I'm the real temple. All these sacrifices, all that blood that's running into the river right now, all these animals that have been killed for centuries, thousands upon thousands of animals, that's all about me. The only reason any of that was done is because I was going to die on that cross. I was going to shed my blood. I was going to sacrifice myself for you. That's the reason this is done. He says, this is all about me. The temple's about me. Church is about Jesus. The fact that he sacrificed himself for you, for sinners. Jesus died on the cross for you. That's why you're here. No other reason. That's the only sign you're going to get. That's the only sign you need. That's the only reality that we live under, is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He died and he rose again for us, to save us. And so, we're told that when the disciples, they remembered all this. They remembered this. John remembered this. John wrote this down years later. They remembered and they believed. This is what you find out throughout the Gospel of John. John always brings us back to that central focus of this is all so that you would believe. John tells us straight out in the beginning of his Gospel, in the prologue of John, he says that these things are all written for us to believe. That's his purpose. And again, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing church. That's why we preach Jesus Christ. We preach it for you to believe, for all of us to believe, that we'd come to this point where we would be silent before the word, and we would believe it, what it is, that Jesus died for you, that you have salvation. And so that's the point, is to bring us to faith. And then it says at the end of the text here that When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing, or in other words, the miracles. And that's true. There was many who were brought to faith. They were very interested in this man, Jesus, this miracle worker, and they were kind of like all amazed at all the things that he did. You know, but this wasn't enough to hold them in, because eventually they would abandon him when he was crucified. You know, the miracles that Jesus did, they're important because they testify to who he is. He's the Son of God. He has this power. But the main miracle, the main thing of this whole thing that Jesus did was his work on the cross and his resurrection. And that is the main thing that creates faith. And so, you know, many believed, but we're told that Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. So Jesus, he knew what was inside of them. He knew really what they were all about. And there's maybe not just a nice way to say this, so I'll just come out and say it. He knows what's inside of you, everyone here, every one of us. Jesus knows what's inside of you. He knows what's in the darkest corners of your heart, in your mind, in your thought life. You know, it's not just like he knows you on Sunday morning when you get all, you know, cleaned up and you bring out your best. Jesus knows every bit of you. He knows what you're all about. And even with this knowledge, even though he knew everything about what was in human beings, he went to that cross anyway. He went there with great joy. He understood everything about what we are all about. And yet Jesus goes to the cross to give his life to save us, to redeem us. It's not like anyone needed to tell Jesus that, like, hey, just so you know, in 2024, the year 2024, things are going to really get bad. People then are going to be really bad. No, Jesus knew everything about us. He knew what we're really like. He knew the real version of what we are. And yet, he went to the cross anyway. He knew every last bit of it. And yet, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. And you know where he is now? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He ascended to heaven. He brought us to heaven. We're there with him. We're not there in reality yet. He's going to come and get us and bring us there. But he saved us. He saved us. In spite of what we are, he had great joy in doing it. So you are washed, you are clean, you are his child because of what he has done for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we pray? Lord, how do we thank you for this wonderful gift, for this gift of salvation? Lord, we praise and we thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we pray that you would continually remind us of this wonderful message that we have to share, that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. Lord, may we never get pulled off of this focus. May we always proclaim this. May this be always what church is about. It's about Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, have mercy on us all and be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.